All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, what's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig. With me is Savannah Little and her boyfriend, Kevin.
Hi.
Racing wife, Kevin.
What an intro. Thanks,
no,
Scott.
No, well, listen, I just felt that I needed to introduce you as most people saw you.
I think he's just jealous. Scott has always had a thing for me. So
that's right.
It's mutual, but, you know, it's Savannah's
accurate.
Here, so.
Right. I do joke, but, like, you guys are both, serious racers, and I've had the pleasure. Well, I first linked up with Savannah, and that's probably, what, 2 or 3 years ago now? Or four?
Way to forget your anniversary.
My anniversary? No. We're not going there. I'm not going to take wife shaming on this podcast. That won't happen. So we've been working together for a bunch of years now.
Yep.
Bunch of years. This way I can't get myself in trouble again.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I said.
Actually, one of the first companies to come on board.
Yeah.
I started working with Njuku, and at the
time you guys were working with Njuku.
And,
yeah.
Kind of just came in naturally that way, but... You guys were like the second company that ever really like believed in my program, so
yeah.
Thanks for that, Scott.
Well, no, hey, listen, I
You're
appreciate
the best.
It. I think my favorite part, and I don't want to sound inappropriate when I say this to you, but like, no, because I'm serious.
Be great.
No, I'm serious. This is like a super compliment, right? Is that we have the privilege of working with a lot of different female racers, right? And I'm not, and this has nothing to do with them, so I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of females now are starting to get into motorsport or are part of the motorsport community. And it's incredible because they don't get enough due respect because a lot of these girls are way faster than guys will ever be. When you're a driver, you're a driver. We know. That's why I introduced you as her boyfriend, Kevin. And they raced on the same platform. This is not like, I mean, she destroys them. So anyhow, I actually have more horsepower,
just for the record.
Well, you did.
Did, okay. Well, right. Whatever, we'll get to that.
So, but the one thing that you've always done from the beginning, and this is kind of what attracted us to your program, was that your program was always about being a racer first. And the fact that you happened to be a female was just who you were. Had nothing, like your program isn't designed about accentuating I'm a girl. It's I'm a racer first. This is what we do. It's about the cars. It's, you know, whatever. And what's interesting even more about that is that you're a model.
Yeah. It's hard. Trust me. It's hard to, like, find a balance between the two, right? Because there's years where I've worked the booth here as your booth girl.
Right.
And then there's times where I'm like, man, like, it's the only reason I'm not working your booth this year is
because
you're
actually
too many meetings right. And I'm trying to move up in the world and you know, couldn't juggle it anymore.
Yeah.
But it is difficult to balance those things because to some extent you have to use what makes you different, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
How many racers are here begging for money this year at Seaman?
Every one of them.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Right? So
they've been here
you have to
all
use
week.
What makes you different, right?
Right.
To an extent. But
right.
I don't want that to be my claim of fame. You know, I don't want that to be the reason why, like you said, companies support. Anybody believes in my program, I want them to see that how driven I am, hopefully,
right.
And you know how committed we are to, you know, delivering what we promise on and those kinds of things. And I want that to be why companies are attracted to my program, not
yeah.
necessarily the girl power, girl card thing. Not that I don't use that to my benefit.
I understand.
Of course I do. But I, like you said, I try to focus on being a racer first. I try to really use that, and you know, we've tried to be a lot more honest with a lot of our content. Which I think creates a trust with our fan base. You know,
right.
We're not out here trying to make racing look like sunshine and rainbows because it's not.
Right.
It's terrible. It's terrible a lot of the time.
But yeah, right. But
living the dream,
like,
but the dream is a nightmare.
It's
a
lot. That necessary evil, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you love something so much, you know, it's kind of like being a parent. You know, like I know that you're not there yet, but I am. I mean, like I love my kids, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for them. But you know, when you don't sleep there, you know, at night, and when you get kicked in the stuff all night long. And I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of unglamorous, but for the small percentage that is glamorous, it makes up for everything that's kind of the wrong with the situation, right?
And it's funny you mentioned the transition with her too, because, you know, obviously
to
like,
parenthood. Are you want
to
bring it? This is a podcast exclusive.
I was going back.
Kevin, the boyfriend, is about to tell us something.
He's
yes. I have a food baby. It's due anytime now.
Right.
But you know, the transition for her as a model. You know,
right.
That's such a harder transition than just some girl who's come up motorsports, I think. Because you're not taken as seriously because,
of what you were.
Yeah, of what you were before, you know, You know, she did that. Before that, she was doing horse stuff and, you know, working on horse barns and stuff and working her ass off.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first time we were here with her car and she was signing posters, I can't count the number of times where she's signing a poster with her next to it, with her name on the car, and somebody would be like, do you drive that car? No, you don't drive that car. I don't believe you. She's like, my car's right there. My name is on it. And they still don't believe it.
So I think what's interesting, and just so people don't think that we're hypocritical, right? Because you said that you were our booth model for a few years.
Yeah.
What you should understand is that we were with working with Savannah for a few years before she was even ever our booth model.
Yeah.
And the reason that I liked having Savannah as a booth model was because she was a car person. See, we get a ton of people to come through to our SEMA booth.
Yeah.
And they come in and they're talking different things and they want to, but you were able to, my favorite part, and I remember this like super clear. It was the first time you worked a show for us and you're sitting at the booth and you're talking different things and probably one of those, it probably segued from one of those poster type of things where, you know, you were in your driving suit and then signing the poster. And somebody started to say something about the car and in some capacity and she like broke them down.
Yeah.
Broke them down, and the look on the dude's face was so dumbfounded, priceless, because he just realized that there was not a thing he could possibly say to get himself out, and he just took his poster, rolled it up, and walked away. I mean, it was like, but knowing that you have such a loyal fan base that super supports you, I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of troll factor.
Yeah.
But knowing that you have such a loyal fan base that when you transitioned yourself, because, all right, so when we first got connected with you, you probably had like 30,000 or something?
I was like 7 or 8,000.
Okay.
I had started Instagram, I think, like maybe about a year before you guys.
Okay.
This is an infuriating stat. I've had Instagram and been racing for like 10 years.
Right.
So I think I'm beautiful, and I think I'm marketable, but, you know, to see her growth, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, because so she's, you know, there's some people that will have that it factor, and Savannah kind of has that.
Trying to say I don't have that?
Yeah. But what's interesting is whatever following you had, you know, as a model, right, it pushed forward. But your content and the stuff that you put up seamlessly transitioned into being mostly car stuff.
Yeah.
And you not only didn't lose base, because people weren't just there oogling at the pictures, they literally continued to grow at an astronomical rate just because of the fact you were doing your thing. That doesn't mean that you didn't ever work in some model stuff, because you still do model
a little bit. Yeah, I do. I try now mostly because I'm working on getting into pro racing and working towards, you know, potentially working with manufacturers.
Yeah.
It's a little political. I have flat out been turned down for jobs because people have seen pictures of me in bikinis on Instagram.
Which is crazy.
Which we won't name names, but those are the same brands that, you know, have commercials with women in nothing.
Next to nothing.
You know, so it's interesting how that works.
And you know, and I've dealt with that bit of politics for quite some time. But that's something that I've decided, okay, you know, like posting a picture from, and basically I still do model, I just don't post my work as much.
Right.
So, and that's mostly because I don't want to lose out on opportunities in racing because some company that might be a little bit uptight decides to take a look and sees a picture that shows some side boob that offends them.
Yeah.
Side boob is very offensive.
Not to me. I'll be on the record as saying that I think it's just
boob,
fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah. You know?
I mean, there is, but, you know.
I do think it's interesting, though, because, you know, rather than just support people for who they are, and there's no lack of substance to your program and what you do, it's one of those things that in today's day and age, you would almost think that it would always be an asset and a benefit.
Yeah.
And
it's a double-edged sword, you know. It's
right.
You know,
it's a judging a book by its cover.
Yeah, exactly. And we still, like, to this day, like, you know, she could be tearing down an entire car by herself, right. You know, because she won't let me help her with it. You know what I mean?
And people and, will
and people will still be like, well, who's taking that picture? I bet they set that up. Your hands aren't dirty enough. Like, you know, why is your hair down? Like,
yeah,
you know, just it's there's so many things. But like you said, it's such a small number
percentage
compared to the support that she gets. Yeah. So it's, you know, and it's but it's hard not to notice those things sometimes. It's and it's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like,
yeah.
You know, she's an attractive girl who does things better than 99% of the guys that we know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, you have to play both sides
that's
of that.
That's an inflated statistic.
I don't think so. And I get to make that judgment call from a different perspective. I mean, listen, we deal with a lot of race teams now, and we deal with a lot of different forms of motorsport. And what's interesting is that what you don't realize, I mean, you have to because you guys are at the track all the time, but there's a lot of drivers that still don't know how to wrench on their car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we in the racing series that we run in, I can't think of anybody that we race that's at, you know, there's some street class guys and stuff like that. But
yeah.
At the level that we do and the marketing effort that we put out and having two cars and traveling everywhere, there's only two of us.
Right.
You know, the only help we get every once in a while is her mom will show up and is really supportive. She'll hold the camera for us and stuff like that.
Yeah. But your mom's a racer, too.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a whole bunch
which
of
which happened
story.
Because of her.
Yeah,
that was not before.
So give a little bit quickly segue into what that's all about.
Thanks, Mom.
Was this something that you grew up with, and that's what?
No. So I found, and this is kind of where we talked about why I felt like I shouldn't have to hide my modeling career. I actually found my passion for racing through modeling. I was an umbrella girl for Nissan and for Monster, and I used to, you know, be a grid girl and hold the umbrella for the race car drivers.
You do that too, right?
I do now. The funny thing is I actually was working World Challenge of crew chief for Nissan the same year that she was doing that. But
right.
I was working World Challenge events and she was working IMSA events.
Right.
So it's probably weird
so we
that
really crossed over.
Way right. before that.
We knew the same drivers. Yep. I was working for Nissan. It was kind of an interesting thing. But long story short, I found my passion for racing through that and you know, decided I wanted to embark on this mission to become someone who had an umbrella girl for herself. And
now she does. Me.
Haven't quite made it into the pro racing series that we're aiming at yet, but we're working on that.
Right.
But my mom actually is just really passionate about sharing things with her kids. You know, it's actually funny. She goes to EDM shows with my brother and sister because that's what they love.
That's wild.
And
we don't go to those.
She loves it. Yeah, not my thing.
Yeah.
But she loves it. I mean, it is something that they probably go to 5, 6, 7 shows or festivals a year together, and I think that's really cool because it's something that she shares with her adult kids now, and that's something that they enjoy.
Right.
But with me, because I'm a little bit more difficult and expensive, she kind of, you know, started coming to the track days with me early on and said, man, you know, I might like to try this. What kind of car could I buy that I could still drive on the street that I could go do this in? And, you know, I showed her a couple different options. She fell in love with the Subaru BRZ, and she went out and bought one. And, man, she must have done 70, 80 track days.
She's done more events in that. I mean, she doesn't have it anymore, and we'll get to that. But she did more events in 3 years than I think we did.
Yeah.
Like, combined, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And she lives in Austin, Texas, so there's a bunch of tracks
so
and stuff.
Is her home track.
That's pretty. Listen, if you're gonna pick a home track,
yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, and she doesn't really have the competitive bug. She does for herself, but she doesn't want to be compared to other people. So she doesn't really. She hasn't moved.
So it's
into
more
time
for
trials.
Her personal best than
it
kinda,
is. And she
loves it.
She'll message me. She has an aim in the car that tells her lap times. If she's not improving, she'll message me and say, "I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Send me video. Say, you know, what can I do differently? Why am I not going faster than I went last time I was here?" So she wants it. She just doesn't want to be compared to other people. Which
I get
totally
that.
Get.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for her because you think it's difficult as a 20-year-old girl like I was at the time. I used to go to the track alone. I didn't have friends. I went to the track alone. I showed up. I made friends. But I used to trailer there with an open trailer in my truck, sleep in a truck bed tent by myself with my dog as an early on racing.
Hi Zeus.
And I imagine how scary that was for me, but to be young and to be able to just do whatever you want, right? But my mom is, you know, 56, and she's doing the exact same thing. I mean, she trailers the car to the track herself. She torques her own wheels. She sets her own pressures. She bleeds her own brakes. At 55 or, you know, 54 when she started, she had no idea. She didn't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
She drove even from Austin, Texas to VIR last year by herself. That's a long haul for us, like. You know, for her to come do that just to go to a track day was awesome to see.
So she loves to travel and go to a new track every year. She actually just sold the BRZ and is getting, she put a pre-order in for a new C8. So she's going to be one of the first. First run order to get her new C8. So, exciting.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's going to really change the game as far as what her lap time is
going to be. A little bit.
She's actually already emailed Corvette Racing to contact them about their driving school in Nevada, I believe it is. So she's signed up for that. Like, she's like ready to go.
It's actually funny. She was the first person. She called the place and she's like, they're like, yeah, you're the first person who's called to sign up for this racing school. You're literally the first one. She's like, well, I saw the article and I'm all about
it.
I'm in. So I thought that was pretty funny that she's, you know, first order and also the very first person to try to get into the driving school.
That's wild. So it's kind of a racing family that started with you.
Yeah, it's very different.
My sister has an interest in cars too. I think if she had. She has a passion for some other things in life, but I think if she felt like she had the means to pursue it, she probably would. So
right.
When I have the means to provide her a car, then I would love to do that because I think she has an interest and I'd love to foster that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, my dad is the polar opposite. He, like, you could show him a picture of a turbo and an alternator and he wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
but he has very little interest in racing. But yeah, it's really, my mom makes up for all of it. She is like, you know, superwoman over there. So super passionate about anything her kids are passionate about. So
very lucky
to have her.
That's awesome. You mentioned loves, and I'll tell you what the one thing you can't love when you race, and that's money, because you can't make it or save any when you race.
No.
Yeah.
So, and you guys, I know you guys work really hard. You've kind of put a lot of your personal life on the line to kind of further your racing efforts. And, you know, I think that there's a part of race teams that are coming up and people that aren't willing to sacrifice enough to be able to push into something when there's such a low potential reward that comes from it. I mean, you're from Maryland.
Yeah.
You were living in Maryland.
Yeah.
You're from Florida, right?
I'm from Texas.
You're Texas, right? California. Where are you going?
Texas, but I was raised in California.
Of course you were. And then you say you came from Texas, but then you were in Florida when we met up.
Yep. And that's when I was with Injuco.
Right. And then you guys were both living in Maryland, and then recently you moved to Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's all so you can be closer to events.
Yep.
But, you know, whenever you do that comes a few things. One, your job.
Yep.
Yeah.
How you make money, having to get a house, having to get a place to live, having to get a place to work on your cars. And when I say cars, there's an S there.
Yeah.
Multiple cars, which means we got to figure out a place to store them and place them. Right. And work on them. Because, you know, the one thing that's different about you and you guys is that you race in so many different segments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and we want to get more.
No, I know. So, When I had said this to Savannah a couple years ago, when you had told me, are we okay to say where you're hopefully trying to go? I'm not talking about
as a person, like for career stuff.
What? Like the racing series?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
All right.
We're just not talking about super secret Z rebuild stuff.
No. Oh,
that's not
ready. Bombshell.
Yet.
It's a bombshell.
That'll be a good one when
it
comes out.
You leave an Easter egg for you guys.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. It could happen. But, like, you aspire to get into the TA racing, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, my goal has always just been to make it into pro racing. That's been kind of what I've had my eyes set on from when I was holding an umbrella for drivers that were in those series.
Yeah.
But I've always really been drawn towards Trans Am just because of the raw factor that it's... I'm kind of deterred by the gentleman racing series, right? Like, and not to say Trans Am isn't full of gentleman racers, because it is. But the cars that are being developed nowadays have so much technology that you have to try really, really hard to make a mistake big enough to cost you even a position. And that's something that I'm passionate about, really. I want to be beat by better drivers. I don't want to be beat by better cars.
Yeah.
So,
I get
and that's
that.
Kind of what you struggle with in Time Attack, right? Like, Time Attack is just full of... It's a budget war. The rule book is so loose, which makes it so cool. It makes the build so awesome.
Right.
But it also means that, you know, you could have a 300 horsepower car racing against a 700 horsepower car. So
you do
math.
Yeah, you could drive that 300 horsepower car perfect, and that guy with the 700 horsepower car could drive it like crap.
And then you get into things like who has money for all the aero development, this, that, the other thing, and it can really shape it.
But Trans Am, it's not, while it's not by definition a spec series, it has a lot less BOP and a lot less politics than, you know, maybe World Challenge or one of the other racing series IMSA would have, because there's less cars involved, right? So you have your Dodge, you have your Ford, and you have your Chevy. Yeah. And they're potentially, you know, they're kind of leaning towards, like, they may be moving towards a spec LS3 engine in the future, which would make the cars a little bit more even as well. But ultimately, cars are 500 horsepower, sequential transmission, no ABS, no traction control, no nannies at all.
The way a race car should be.
They are a driver's car. If you want to win, you have to be the best driver in the field.
Right.
And that's something that really interests me and intrigues me as a driver, because I want to earn what I get, and I don't want to go into a series where there's, you know, six or seven cars, and if two guys wreck, you get a handout podium. You know, I'm not interested in necessarily, you know, earning my way through the ranks of pro racing by handouts.
Which is going to make it harder. You know, the TA2 class is 30 car fields of guys that, you know, every single one of those guys could win a race. Realistically, we don't expect to go win races. We don't expect a podium for years. You know what I mean? It's going to be a struggle.
But the learning curve has to start somewhere.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere. That's why, you know, she'll tell you that she built the Z that way. It's manual brakes. You know, it's no ABS. There's no driver controls. And that's something that she's learned a lot in a few years. I've been doing this for 9 years, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And she's faster than me. You go look at the data. Like, I almost killed myself at Road Atlanta trying to chase her into a braking zone.
Yeah.
I popped a tire. I locked him up so damn bad, you know. And it's just, it's amazing to see how far she's come in such a short period of time. So I'm really excited to see how that translates in a proper series where the rule set, you know, is a lot more even.
You know, and what's interesting is what you said about the Z. And the reason is because, and this is kind of where I was going with this whole story, is that everything you've done and every series you've raced and every kind of car that you've built, what people may not see on the surface is that it was all purposely done to be a stepping stone to the next level.
Yeah, and that's something that, like I said, a lot of people, they just miss. You know, I have people sitting around going, they think the car makes a lot more power than it does because it's loud and it's pretty.
It's
and
very
it's
loud.
Right.
And so people sit there and they think, like, oh, this thing should be turning these kinds of lap times, or it should be a winning, you know, track mod or limited class car or ST1 car.
Right.
The reality is it doesn't have the suspension geometry of a Dodge Viper.
Right.
You know, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I could fix it, but that would move me into super unlimited because you're not allowed to change suspension pickup points.
Right.
That and just the budgets. The budgets just in
the
last... Well,
you're going to do the engineering on it.
Yeah.
I
won Grid Life Road Atlanta, 3 years ago or something like that? It was like a 4 years ago with like a 34, right? Which wasn't... It was really high. It wasn't a great lap time, but I won in a 19-car field, and that was when they still had the drivetrain separated.
Right.
This past year, the winning time was a 26 in our class. So in 4 years, that's a huge change. You know, I had the luxury of getting lots of wins and podiums and stuff when Time Attack was kind of in its infancy and, you know, starting to grow. Now they're huge classes, and she came in at the right and wrong time. You know what I mean? It's really popular. And
when I first built my car, I built it to run 32s, which would have beat him by 2 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
Well, by the time I turned 32s in my car, the field was turning 27s.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, great. I built
with Vipers and Corvettes.
You know,
way more expensive vehicles.
But for me, the other thing was, you know, I had Magnussen, you know, breathing down my neck trying to get me a supercharger for the car for the last 3 years. I have turned them down because, respectfully, I don't believe that was in my best interest as a driver, because I already had too much car for my skill level in the beginning, and I had to have a huge learning curve, and I did eventually. And now it's funny because I'll put, you know, for instance, the guy that won at in our class that drives a Dodge Viper actually got in my car at a test day and was, you know, was not able to beat my lap times, obviously, but he and more important than that, he got out of the car and said, this thing is so hard to drive. I don't know how you run 32s in this car. And that's something that I said, well, I wanted it to be difficult because it's going to make me a better driver.
Yeah.
And because when you're developing a driver and a car, you're asking for a lot.
Right.
You're asking for a lot.
I wish we could put every hater in her car.
Yeah, you know, but in spite of that, you still have had, this season, you still have had some podiums. And you still have had some success. So it's kind of a testament to the fact that the stepping stone thing here is kind of working, and there's proof in the pudding.
And I think that that's something to be said for when I do make my way into Trans Am, or when I do make my way into pro racing, that people are going to, a lot of these, even fellow drivers, are going to expect me to be a lot slower than I am.
I understand.
And I think that it's going to be a great feeling to be able to get in a series where it's about the drivers and not so much about the cars. And, you know, and for us, we understand some people might think a 15th or 16th place finish in Trans Am is, oh, she sucks, she finished 16th.
I would love a 15th
But you know how
finish.
Difficult it is to get mid-pack.
In a 32-car field where the, you know, the dispersity between first and 30th is only 5 seconds.
Right.
I'll take a 15th all day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All day.
So, and that's something as a rookie driver that, you know, realistically, you know, I go in there hoping to win rookie of the year or something, which means, you know, I'm not looking at winning a championship my first year.
Just
I'm
be consistent.
At more realistic things like rookie of the year or things, you know, like that nature.
And even that's going to be tough.
And even that would be extremely difficult to do because there's a lot of talent. And not just in Trans Am, but potentially anywhere else that I could end up with World Challenge or
right.
places. We're also, right now, I was announced as a nominee for Mazda for the Road to 24 shootout.
I saw that.
It's been a good week.
It's really exciting.
It's been a good week.
So we still have to earn our way into becoming a finalist in order to actually be put in one of the cars at the shootout. So we're working on that.
And there are some very, very fast drivers in that
a lot
shootout.
Of really talented, it's a talented field. So I'm going to have to earn it if I get it. And, you know, so that's potentially another outlet. You know, if you win the scholarship to move on to MX5 Cup.
Yeah.
That's potentially another route.
But yeah, so kind of segueing back through this, what is your end, your desired end goal, right? Like let's say you get Trans Am Racing, is there another step, or is that like, you know what, that's where I'm focused right now?
So yeah, I'm going to do, like, a really quick one. And it was, we were supposed to do it at 10, but nobody was here at 10, so I kind of, we figured we'd start this. Yeah, absolutely. We actually have them signed. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know. I'm sure you're getting bothered. Yeah. Well,
Scott said there was no signing, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my fault. I mean, I didn't.
We can.
We'll do it now.
All right. Well, we'll try to wrap it up in a few minutes anyway, because I got to run all the way to Yellow Speed to... Yeah.
Okay, so we're picking back up on answering.
Do you want to try that question again?
So kind of segueing back into that, if you do make it to TA2, if you do get into Trans Am Racing, is that the end goal? Is that, you know, if we get there and we're pro racers, is that where you hope to stop, or do you think that there is another end goal hope?
So sustainability in pro racing is more difficult than getting there. Actually.
Yeah, of course.
So I'll be realistic, because I am not a trust fund baby, and because I am not a gentleman racer, and I have to earn my funding in order to pursue these kinds of things. The first step is getting there, right? So I look far ahead. I have dreams. The first goal is just to get there, and the second goal is to create a sustainable career there. The third goal is to move up through the ranks of pro racing. I mean, the sky's the limit, depending on how well I can market myself and how well I can produce results and the opportunities that I can get. And, you know, I would really love to be, like, able to say that I raced, like, the Rolex 24. That's always been something that has really, really interested me. So that would be somewhere that I would love to end up someday. Even, you know, realistically, like, in the GTD class, obviously I don't come from prototypes, or I don't come from formula cars.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, maybe my career will take me that path someday. But right now I realistically look at the top ranks of sports cars, and that's where I would like to end up.
Okay.
I mean, that's really, you know, to, like, even, like, DPI or something like that would be insane. But obviously I don't really spend too much time daydreaming about that right
you're
now.
You're going to need a new crew chief for DPIs. That's above my pay grade.
Right. Yeah, no, I
right now
I
daydream about mostly the two-year goals. And for, you know, a little segue, the goal for the Z is to do Pikes Peak. So
that's
something that we're actively pursuing in the near future.
I think that's, like, super cool. Yeah. I mean, to watch you be able to do that would be just incredible.
Hopefully, I have cars that I can bring you along.
I know.
You're coming
TA2
with, right?
Is, I would like to.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. TA2 is
committed.
Like, you know, a little out of our segment there. But yeah, I mean, any, you know, you guys, anything you guys are on that we can be a part of, we would be.
And we have to say, since I know we're wrapping up, like, there's certain sponsors that we've had over the years that, and I'm going to get all sappy now.
that sappy for me?
Oh yeah, of course,
no,
man.
It's not,
there's certain sponsors that, like, you know, no matter what they're giving you, it's the personal relationships that come from it, and you guys have just knocked it out of the park for you. I mean, I consider
that.
You guys family.
I appreciate
you know,
that.
And it's no matter what, no matter where we end up, like,
no,
you know,
I still appreciate that.
It's awesome to be with
we'll
you.
We'll always be whether we're on your cars or not, because you kind of transitioned well, the classes.
As many cars as we have, there will always be some cars that we have on cars.
But it's always good to know that we were like just a tiny part of kind of being with you, what, you know, kind of climbing through the ranks, right?
I mean, honestly, obviously every sponsor plays a role in this.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like I said earlier, you know, I don't come from a trust fund.
Yeah.
I have to earn everything that I've got. And every sponsor along the way, big or small, has impacted all of that. And you guys have been a huge part of that for me.
Well, I appreciate
especially
that.
Because you guys believed in me in the infancy of this program. When I was just some girl with, you know, a couple thousand followers and literally bone stock 350Z. I mean, at the time
right.
you guys came on board, it didn't, I don't even think it had a roll cage yet.
No, I don't think so.
But,
we were right
you know, it had no wing, no arrow, no nothing. It was stock, it was still silver. I mean, you guys came on board and that was something that, you know, we've grown together. And that was something you expressed to me in the beginning. You told me early on, you said, don't sign this contract unless you plan on, you know,
doing this
long term.
Yeah.
That's what we're interested in. And that's,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's for sure. And, you know, and it's true. But, like, you know, watching the car come along, watching you kind of develop. I mean, when I first saw what you were doing, I looked at the stuff you were doing, how you were trailering by yourself and you were out there. And, like, so what you encompassed even early on, and even it had always stayed at that level, was you encompassed every racer that pounds the, you know, the pavement trying to anything that they can. Right, to do anything you can.
Just
but that's one of the parts that I think I love the most about you guys is that, like, this is your dream, this is where you want to be, and this is the love that you have of it, and you just, like, you don't let things stop you. It just always is, well, this has got to change so that we can get racing to be first. You sleep in your trailers.
Yep.
You you know, go check out their Instagrams. Nick loves when I do this. He'll put it right about here. and you know, check out your Instagrams and different things like that. You can see them sleeping in trailers and kind of.
And that's why we talk about those things, because, you know, racing, like we said earlier, you know, racing
is not glamorous.
It's not glamorous. You know, there's a lot of people that want to make it look like it's this great, easy thing to do, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And we want to bring everybody along the ride with us. You know what I mean? And I think that's why she has the following. I think that's why people are so receptive to what we do, because. We don't BS, you know.
Yeah.
If we have a bad day, you know about it. You know every detail of every single thing that we do.
Yeah.
And I think that it makes other people learn, and we learn with it, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of it.
So the last thing I want to do before we wrap up, and because we just talked about hard work, and there's another thing you guys are doing that's hard work, which is Apex Garage.
Yeah.
You're starting to develop content. You've been starting, what I mean is, more than a year or so, of that kind of starting. So they're starting to put out more content on YouTube, I guess, like we're doing.
God, YouTube sucks. I hate YouTube.
So, but they're putting out a lot of content, and it's very, very covers Savannah's racing, a lot of in-car stuff, kind of shows you what they go through, behind the scenes, different things. But in addition, you're putting up a lot of technical information about racing, and I'll give you the one
I know where this is
story.
Going. I know where this is
exactly
going.
Where this is going. So, this year I did a ton. You've probably seen this on one of our podcasts, but I did a ton of suspension things to my car. And it was the first time I had done everything at one time. I'm usually one of those guys, I take one piece apart.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to put camber arms in, if I'm going
to
put toe arms in,
that's the smart
I take
way to
the
do
arms,
it.
Toe arms out of the car, measure them, get them to length, put them back in the car, get the car aligned, come back. Well, I had camber arms, lockdown kits, you know, subframe supports. I had, you know, the traction bars. I had all this stuff. So I did my best to get everything lined up, and I put it all in the car at one time. And then I said, I can't drive this car to an alignment shop. I can't. I don't even think the wheels are facing.
It's crab
even
walking.
I mean, crab walking was like, it was like, you know, and I was like, I got to get this closer. And, you know, I tried to eye it up. I tried to use like a 6-foot level off the side, you know, to try to.
Yeah.
And I just, the Z has, you know, I have a 350Z. So
the offset.
And also, not only is the track width different. Right.
Yeah, track.
And so I couldn't get a good visual in one plane to be able to do that. So I'm like, I can't get this thing freaking close. So I call Kevin, or I text him a bunch, and he's finally like, can you just call me because I'm driving from track somewhere.
Somewhere. That's all we do.
So he says, go on my channel and watch my video about doing the string alignment. I said, oh, that's awesome. Great idea. And I did. And then 3 days of kind of going back and forth trying to figure it out, I kept
calling
him.
Apparently, my video
is
not really like.
He's missing. Listen, his video is
one little tiny thing.
His video is fantastic, except he's missing one little thing, and I'll tell you
what it is. Which I put in the comments, but I wasn't going to go back and redo the entire video.
So anyhow, so I do the string alignment, and every single time I did the string alignment, I just kept chasing my tail. I kept getting to the point where I was toe this way a little bit, toe that way, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? And he's like, well, when you made the bars that go across, did you mark them in both the same spot? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I'm like, you just said the string has to be even off the center cap or whatever.
For the record, everything that we did, the entire purpose of the video was a do-it-at-home kit. And
That's exactly right.
I did say in the video
that
the bars that we had grooves lined into them that made the grooves from the front to rear parallel.
Right.
But I didn't expand on that enough, and there's lots of comments on there. Right. I'm sorry, everybody that's watching it.
We're going to have to redo it at some
point. No, we're not. That was painful.
Next time we do.
it's all in the comments and stuff.
Yes,
but that was the issue, is that you just...
I had made my own bars. I had used...
You could use a broom handle.
I used conduit or something like that. And,
as long as it doesn't sag.
Right. And so I used conduit with jack stand support underneath, and I'd run them back. And really... So anyhow, so I call in. Kevin's like, did you mark the bars? I'm like, but I didn't see that in your video. And he goes, did you read the comments? And I was like,
I don't expect anybody to read the comments. So that's a crappy response.
Sometimes.
I have lots of cancer. I'm the filter for
I understand. But serious part about it is they're putting up a lot of great content. So if you are kind of on the internet looking for some real life viewing of what it takes to run a race program or some technical knowledge, even if you take that one factor or read the comment, that video was really key in me being able to get everything aligned. And once you do it once, it takes a little bit of effort and time, but it's a super rewarding. And
absolutely,
to be able to kind of make adjustments and know you can do things on the fly and not have to keep track of every single thing, it's a big thing. So go check them out. That's Apex Garage. Our friend behind the camera will take care of putting links and stuff.
Make him do it twice. Should be right
so
here.
Most likely here we'll forget and you'll just see Kevin's hand floating
That's
across
fine.
The bottom of the
I'm
screen.
I'm going to write it on my hand and just
Apex Garage.
Put it there.
That's right. Listen, I appreciate you guys hanging out with us and doing this, and I wish you a lot of luck. Savannah has a bunch of stuff that she just told me all about that you guys don't know about that you need to go listen to. So follow her channels, follow her social media. She's got a lot of big announcements to make. A couple she already made here. And I don't know. I'm super excited.
I'm super pumped to
see you guys put that stuff out. So thanks. And that's it. So
thank you.
No, thank you.
No. Okay.
No, thank you. Yeah, right. All right. That's it for this. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. For more information on the podcast, head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. And we'll catch you next time.